Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get Dr. Graham's message series, Invisible. But first, here's his message, Making Prayer a Habit, Part 1.
Now let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, Chapter 6. We're talking about the real secret. The real secret as compared to The Secret, a well-known book that is sweeping the nation, a book that suggests that all you need to do to get everything you want from health to wealth is to simply ignite the magnetic forces of the universe, that if you will pray to the stars or to your God or whomever, whatever you choose, that you being the center and the course and the force of life, a co-creator with God, can receive all that you need in life and everything that you want in life. This real secret is no secret at all, but it is a bogus New Age attempt to rob from the hearts of believers as well as unbelievers the real secret, which is knowing God and connecting with God in a personal way. Jesus taught us that prayer is the real secret. And he gave us a prayer that you know perhaps as the Lord's Prayer, but it is a prayer for believers, a prayer for disciples, a pattern prayer, a kind of outline for praying. It's certainly acceptable to pray the words of this prayer and to repeat it, but primarily this prayer is given to us as an example as to how we are to pray. Don't pray in these words, but pray in this way. And so verse by verse in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 down through verse 15, we have this incredible prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. I want to pray the Jesus way, the way that Jesus taught me to pray. In fact, I want to make prayer the habit of my heart. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Making prayer a habit. You know that first you form your habits and then your habits form you. Both good habits as well as bad habits. Our lives are a result of the perpetual behaviors that we practice every single day. And the practice of prayer as a discipline, as a devotion, as a holy habit, a habit of the heart in your life is vital to your life, your physical life, your material life, your spiritual life. Making prayer a habit. This is why the scripture tells us that we are to pray at all times. We are admonished to pray always. We are just a breath away in Christ from connecting with God. Bill Bright described prayer as spiritual breathing. We breathe out and breathe in. And just as breathing is a habit of the heart, a physical habit of our lives, spiritual breathing, praying, should be a daily diet, a daily devotion of our lives. Not prayer as our last chance, but always prayer as our first choice. Not praying when we think about it, but praying always. And we are always just a heart away, a request away, a moment away from the presence of God. Now that is an amazing promise. Because you see, God not only cares about our spiritual needs, but he cares about our physical needs as well. And thus verse 6 of Matthew chapter 6 contains this part of the prayer, this succinct supplication, this petition at verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, God not only takes us to the heavenlies when we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He not only takes us way up there in the heavenlies when he prays, But when we pray, he brings us right down to earth. We not only pray realizing that we are to pray for the heavenly glory, but we also pray for our earthly good. And so Jesus taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. I want us just to take that apart and think through it for just a moment. This is the secret of God's provision for your life. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. So how are we to ask that we will receive? The scripture says you have not because you ask not. So how can we have and how can we ask? I want to begin with a spiritual principle. If you're going to make prayer a habit, you must develop a spiritual principle in your life. And that spiritual principle is this. Before you ask from God anything, before you request anything from God, you begin with this spiritual principle of putting first things first. Remember, the prayer begins with our Father who art in heaven, your name, your kingdom, your will. If we were giving the prayer, we might have moved just directly from our Father, give us this day our daily bread. But Jesus taught us to pause and to praise and to consider this spiritual principle that Jesus is Lord. And prayer is always first and foremost for God's glory. For God's glory. Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 really wraps up this entire section. And you know chapters 5, 6, and 7 in Matthew comprise the Sermon on the Mount. And so Jesus is summarizing this whole passage in verse 33 of chapter 6 when he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things, what things? The things that we need. All the things that we need in life, food and clothing and shelter and sustenance and strength. Put Jesus first in your life and all of these things will be added unto you. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I love the translation of those famed verses which says, put God first in your life and all of these things, if you will trust him, will be provided for you. And that is the principle that is here. God will not take second place in your life. The habit of your heart must begin by knowing him and seeking him first and foremost. Sometimes we spend our days seeking all of these other things. We're wrapped up in the things of this world rather than putting Jesus first in our lives. So the spiritual principle is clear. Before I go about asking for things, whether it's daily bread or something else, I need to make sure that Jesus has his proper place of preeminence in my life. For example, is Jesus first in your thoughts each morning? Before you meet the day, your thoughts should rise above to him. The first thoughts of your morning, they say that the day goes about as well as the first 10 or 15 minutes of our day. What we think, the attitude that we develop, and so on. And I promise you, if you will begin to ascend into his presence, as soon as your feet or your knees hit the floor in the morning, you will find yourself growing in your faith and developing the habit of the heart of putting Jesus first. Do you give him the first thoughts in the morning? Do you give him the first day of the week? You're here today because you believe that Jesus should be worshiped and glorified and honored. And I'm so glad that you've chosen to take time out. There are some who would say to you, why don't you sleep in? Why don't you spend the morning at home? You could get some things done around the house and your life is so busy. No, you recognize the importance of giving Jesus first place in your life, and that is signified, symbolized by taking time out and gathering with God's people on the first day of the week to worship Him. I challenge you to give God always the first day of the week, and the rest of the week is going to go much better. Do you give God the first fruits of your income? The scripture says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of your substance and the first fruits of your increase. Do you give God what is first, or do you give God what is last? Do you give Him the best of your life or the leftovers? Are you practicing this principle of putting Jesus first? Do you give Jesus first place in your desires, first in your desires? There should not be anybody, anything, any circumstance that you love more than God. The scripture says that in Him, in all things, He may have the preeminence. So this is where we start. Don't miss this principle. Before we move from the petition, is this principle of first things first.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, Making Prayer a Habit, Part 1. There is an invisible realm that's just as real and just as active as the physical world around us. In his 11-message series called Invisible, Pastor Jack Graham opens a window of understanding into the unseen realities of the spiritual forces that affect you every day. Invisible is our special thanks for your gift to PowerPoint this month. But we also want to ask you to help meet an important goal of adding 100 new monthly partners. With your first monthly gift today, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of Dr. Graham's book, Unseen. This is the last week of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, Making Prayer a Habit, Part 1.
So this is where we start. Before we move from the petition, is this principle of first things first. But then we see a very simple request. Give us this day our daily bread. Just a simple thing to pray. To pray for bread each day. Give us. And we ask of God because He is the giver of all good things. He is our provider. He is our sustainer. He is our Father. Isn't it incredible to consider that the God of the universe, the Creator, who put the planets in place and holds the universe together, that this God is interested in our simple request? As simple as praying for daily bread. And whether your request is big, there's nothing too big for God. And whether your request is small, there's nothing too small for God. Give us. God delights to give good things to His children. As His child, God has taken personal responsibility for you and your life. And you can trust Him because life itself is a gift. Everything that we have in life is a gift of God. And God is trustworthy and God is faithful to provide all that we need. The scripture says that He has given us all things in Jesus Christ richly to enjoy. We have been given abundant life in Christ. We have been forgiven of all of our sins. He has done exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, all things to enjoy. And you ought to enjoy the blessings of God and experience to the fullest everything that God delights to give. I love Psalm 84 and verse 11. The Lord our God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. What a promise that God will give us the good things of life. And therefore, we must never take these gifts, these good things that God gives us, for granted. This is why we pray for daily bread. The children of Israel were given daily bread called manna. It was a miracle in which God provided for his children in the desert. And every morning they awakened to this fresh bread, this miraculous manna that was laying on the ground. They would go out and gather it and experience a miracle every single morning. But a very interesting thing happened. As time marched on and as the children of Israel were stuck there in the wilderness, they began to get tired of the manna. And it's amazing but true that even though it was a miracle from God, a blessing on the ground every day, they began to take the miracle for granted. And ultimately, they said, we despise this light bread. We can't stand the taste of this stuff. They took their blessings for granted. They began to try to store it up, keep it on shelves and put it in barrels, but it rotted because God wanted them to experience the miracle of life, the blessing of the bread every single day of their lives. Now, many of us are taking our blessings for granted. God meets us with the miracle of life every single day. In him we live, we move, we have our being. God has provided for us in every way we can imagine. And yet we often take these blessings for granted. If the stars came out only once a year, if you could see them only once a year, most likely you would stay up all night looking at them. But because the stars are there most every evening for us to observe, we take them for granted. So often we take these blessings and so for granted. And so Jesus is teaching us a principle here, that we are to live our lives realizing our reliance upon him, our dependence upon him, that everything that we have is his gift. You say, well, I've worked hard for what I have. You know, I've made my way. No, you haven't. The very breath, the talent, the brain that God has given you, the abilities, the opportunities, all of this comes from the good hand of our God. Thank God for the privilege of partnering with him. The Bible says if a man won't work, neither should he eat. So we're not suggesting that you just sit around and wait for the bread to be shoveled into your mouth. But rather, when we receive bread, the work of our hands and the gift of our lives, we are to give thanks for it and to do it every day. And if you have much bread, I know this prayer on seeking daily bread may seem a little strange. Some of us are trying to stop eating so much bread. You're reducing those carbs in your diet. But bread is a staple of life. It is representative here of God's food, God's provision for us. And in fact, if you say, well, I don't need to pray for bread. I've already got too much bread. Well, if you've got more bread than you need, you, above all others, should pray this prayer, thanking God for his provision. And if we don't pray like this, it's simply because we don't believe and trust him for our very lives, to give thanks for the blessings of God. It is a simple request. Ask and receive. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Over and over and over again, we are called upon and commanded to pray. You say, why should I pray if Jesus already knows what I need? If he's going to provide everything that I need? Number one, because he's commanded us to pray. Number two, because this is God's way of our receiving what he delights and desires to give. And number three, it is because it expresses our dependence and our obedience to him. Give us this day our daily bread. So look at the second part of this simple request. It is a personal prayer for God's provision, but it is also in plural. Give us this day our daily bread. And while it is totally appropriate and meaningful to pray one-on-one with God, this is a family prayer. And it is a prayer that includes not only ourselves, but it includes others. The big problem with the secret, as it has been promoted today, which is New Age marketing, at the very least, the big problem with the secret is you are the center of everything. You get what you want if you will just think hard enough and pray long enough. You are the center of the universe. When Jesus taught us to pray, he taught us to pray not only for ourselves, but for others. Give us this day our daily bread. And in this prayer, when we pray for daily bread, when we're thanking God for his provision, whether it be food, shelter, clothing, whatever we have, it ought to cause us to remember those who are poor and do not have what we have. To identify in our prayers with those who need food, who need clothing, who need shelter. Many parts of the world, people are starving. Deplorable conditions. And if God, listen to this, if God has given you more bread than you need, your bread is not to be stored, it is to be shared. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Give us this day our daily bread. So many go to bed hungry every night. And we are to be passionate about that and compassionate about that. And with the bread that we have been given comes a responsibility. If you have been given good things, more than you could have possibly imagined, most of us are making far more money than we ever imagined in our life. We live in houses that we could have never dreamed about. We wear clothes that are the finest, and yet there are so many who need so much more. It doesn't mean that God has not blessed you, but it means that he has blessed you to be a blessing to others. And to ask God to give you a grateful heart and a giving heart. Give us this day our daily bread. We are blessed in order to bless others. Such a simple request, isn't it? Based upon a spiritual principle that if you will put first things first in your life, then you can ask for bread and God will provide what you need.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, Making Prayer a Habit, Part 1. The devil will stop at nothing to control your mind through lies, doubts, and fears that enslave you to sin and rob you of life. But you can experience freedom and victory when you let Jesus renew your thoughts with his truth. Dr. Jack Graham will teach you how in his message series, Invisible. This powerful resource is our thanks for your best gift today. And this month, we're asking for your help to meet an important goal of adding 100 new PowerPoint partners. If you become a PowerPoint partner with your first monthly gift today, we'll send you a special bonus gift of Dr. Graham's book, Unseen. This is the last week of this offer, so call today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Jesus taught us the principle of putting first things first when he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So before we ask for anything in prayer, we need to make sure that we're putting first things first, seeking Christ, seeking his kingdom and glory in every area of our lives.
So before we close out the program today, I want to give you a little test. And I want you, as best as you know how, to answer the following questions honestly and sincerely. Now, it may be hard to admit some of your answers even to yourself, but I believe this little test will help you to reorder your priorities and, as a result, refresh your personal life of prayer. So here it is. Question number one, do you give God the first thoughts of your day? Even before you hit the floor in the morning, do you thank God for another day of life, of health, of strength, of family, of friendship? A great verse to begin each day is Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I encourage you to memorize this verse, mark it in your life and in your heart, and use it to begin each day worshiping the Lord. Question number two, do you give God the first day of your week? God has given us a day of worship each week to honor Him with other believers. He's done this in order to give us strength and power in the midst of our stress-filled lives. And we can take a Sabbath each week as we worship God. Are you taking advantage of this wonderful opportunity to give God the priority of your worship each week? Question number three, do you give God the first part of your income, of your possessions? Stewarding what God has given you, taking care of the blessings of life. This includes your income, your family, and your time. And then making sure that you're giving God the first tenth of your income, tithing into your local church, and giving beyond into the ministry of Jesus Christ, because stewardship is really a matter of lordship. When Jesus is first, we will be among the first to give and to serve Christ. Question number four, are you giving God the first of all your desires? In other words, does He have all of your heart? Is He first place in your life? Is He preeminent in all of your ways? Because loving and serving and worshiping anything else more than Jesus Christ is nothing short of idolatry. And we need to tear down the idols of the heart and allow Jesus to take His rightful place to rule and reign in our desires. As you answer these questions honestly, it's my prayer that God will show you if there are any priorities in your life that are not in order. And as He does, it is my hope that you will begin putting first things first, Jesus first, and by doing so, begin experiencing the joy and the power of life in Him.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's powerful message series, Invisible, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about what it really means to live a lifestyle of prayer. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.